Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven, stay driven.
What is up? It is another episode of Big Daddy's Hard Talk, Volume 16. I am Big Daddy, a.k.a. the Met Daddy Mastodon, a.k.a. Big Draws McGraw, a.k.a. And I'm here with my lovely co-host, the one with the most, like I said before, Sam Jackson's illegitimate daughter, Faye Jackson,
yep.
Kimberly Elise, almost Elise, Faye Elise.
You stupid. What's that?
The Ohio Brick House.
The Ohio Brick House.
Yeah. What's going on, baby?
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to steal that now. The Ohio Brick House.
The Ohio Brick House. Well, the sixth season is almost over. We officially have, I think, one more game, and that's it. They have no more home games. So that's it for Big Daddy. Damn shame. Now I got to find something else to do with my time. Maybe I'll do Big Daddy Hard Talk twice a week.
Uh-oh.
How about that? If I can talk more trash.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that people would love that.
How was your weekend? Busy?
Very busy. I went from having one job to two jobs. So.
When's the next photo shoot?
I actually have no idea because my schedule is so crazy. I actually have a photo shoot in about a good month. And I kind of, I was just thinking about it today while I was at work. Like, dang, I actually missed doing photo shoots. That's crazy. But it should be, I'm gonna try to get something done pretty soon.
We got to get you back in there.
Yeah. I got not work for a week.
So, tomorrow, I should be shooting my movie called Inferno. It's a short film, and I should be on set tomorrow. So, keep me in prayer, and I'll keep you posted on what's going on. I might do a bunch of live feeds for when I, you know, get out there.
Uh-oh.
So, we'll see.
You like doing it now, huh?
Yeah, I do. I think it's funny. You like it too. You was complaining about
people that don't tip.
Mm-hmm. People don't tip. And then mm-hmm. I wanted you to comment on when I was talking about. Well, I'm gonna tell the story real quick before we go into commercial. But I took Tracy to Joe's Crab Shack. Wednesday night, because it was Tracy's birthday, so that's where she wanted to go. So I took her in there. And these little kids are just walking around aimlessly in this restaurant. And I'm just sitting here like, really? Nobody has nothing to say. One little boy had to be like 2 years old, pushing around, stroller, pushing around his own stroller. And I'm sitting there like, mother and friend just sitting there watching it. I was a little kid running around playing tag. Some other chick come in there, and she's yelling from the restaurant into the bar. She's yelling at the top of her lungs, looking for her people. And I'm like, really? Like, when did we start getting that ignorant and that rude that we would disturb other people just being loud for no reason?
Right.
So, you know,
because people are getting more rude and more ignorant.
They are. People are getting more rude, more ignorant. But back in the day, I'm not saying that Joe's Crab Shack is a five-star restaurant. I'm not saying that by a little bit. Like, it's really, you know, any restaurant you can wear a pair of sweatpants to is not that fancy. So, you know, I was in there, you know, we was in there lounging, and it's cool. But at the same time, I do want a little bit of quiet. I do want a little bit of, you know, enjoy my meal, have a conversation. I don't have to hear you yell and scream.
Right.
Well, nothing but a bunch of Faye Elise or Faye Jackson people in there cutting up and carrying on. You know, it was a bunch
and
of
shut up. But I did have a table this past weekend, and we called them the Weavy Wonder Table. Table of four. One had red hair, one had yellow hair, one had blonde hair, one had black hair, and they ordered $300 worth of stuff and didn't tip. So why come?
How much you tip?
Huh?
How much you tip they leave?
Nothing. Zero.
Nothing?
Built. Zero. They didn't expect the bill to be that high.
Hold on a second. We got to call it. Hold on. Welcome to Big Daddy's Bar Talk.
How you doing, Big Daddy?
What's going on, man? My man, George?
Yeah, this is George. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing
hello.
Good. How you doing? Hey, Trudy, I was about to dress you. Don't worry about it. Slow your roll. But no, I was thinking about you this morning, Trudy, for real. Because when I saw that story about what Jim Carrey left for that tip, I was, you know, for that one lady, I forgot where it was. He left like a $225 tip for some girl. And the bill was only like $150. So, I mean, it's very rare to find generous people that day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you can leave something.
Yeah, I know. That's sad.
At least something, but just to tip zero because you didn't expect the bill to be that high. Like, where do you think you were
worse. It could have been worse. It could have been worse. It could have been Shady McCoy. That's all I could say. So, but no, question for you, Big Daddy. Right? You know, me and you both you and me both love our Sixers. But I think that Sam Hinkie got a raw deal. I really think he did, because the fact that he created something beautiful for us this all season, and they try to say they didn't believe the process, but they let this man do this for 3 years. They let him do it for 3 years, and we suffered for all them years, man. You know what I mean? And now all of a sudden, when we're going to go to the biggest all season, maybe, what, 10, 15 years, you're going to kick the man out? I'm sorry. It just...
I agree with you. I agree with you. And you read the ESPN article because you're the one that chatted. And I want to thank you for that because I wouldn't know.
No
I wouldn't
problem.
Know if you didn't tag me and then send it to me. I really appreciate that.
No problem.
And I totally agree. Now, when the man started, everybody was on board. Now, did he do exactly what we thought he was going to do? No. Was he a numbers guy? Yes, he is a numbers guy, and he did numbers things, okay? But we got the best young talent who could have been rookie of the year if he didn't injure himself, and Jahlil Okafor. The Bulls averaged 18 points a game. You got Joel Embiid, if he works out, and you've been at a couple of games. I've watched him work out before the games. He doesn't miss too much. Now,
no.
As far as I know, warming up is different from actually playing. So when we actually watch him play and watch him develop, then we'll see exactly what we got. He's a big, agile kid. You watch Norland Noel improve to where he's a defensive force. Now, offensively, he has some work to do. Let's be honest. He really does. But
correct.
I respect the fact that he injured himself and still came back to finish out the season. And I got mad respect for that. As far as, you got, two, three draft picks coming up this draft? He laid a foundation. If everything goes okay, now you got Colangelo boys in there, the son and the father in there now. If they can bring the right free agents in here, that building's going to be packed. And when that building's packed out, all these doubters are going to be they have to go
jump
back
on the wagon. They're going to jump on the wagon.
Yup.
They're going to jump. They're going to jump on the wagon.
Yup.
And you know what? And the crazy thing about it is that everybody talks about trade Okafor. You can't trade Okafor because you got to bring Embiid back slowly. You know what I mean? He's going to be on minutes restriction.
Exactly.
So what's the best thing you're going to do is have either Embiid's going to come off the bench. I think starting out the year, going to bring him off the bench for a backup in case when your bigs get in trouble. So it's perfect. So my thing is like this. When they had the lottery coming up, here's the thing coming up, and it's a good question I'm going to ask you. So, of course, you know Philadelphia and Sacramento. Philadelphia has a right to switch with Sacramento, right? So, if, let's say, Sacramento gets one and we gets two, do we want Ben Simmons that bad to switch one and two with him?
No. I would say no. I would say no because I don't know how much Ben Simmons have you watched this year. I was extremely impressed.
Neither was I.
So I would let Sacramento take the bullet on that. Unless Sacramento picks somebody ahead of them, and that's okay, then we take Ben Simmons because he's here. But I would put it in their hands. I wouldn't trade just to get him because I don't know how well he's going to do, one. And two, I don't know if we really need him. Because you still got Simmons coming in at the end of this year, the start of this year. And from what I'm hearing, he's going to be a bear. He's going to be a beast. So do you really need Ben Simmons? You know what I'm saying? With Stead, with the B, with Noel, with Joel Okafor, do you really need all of this? And the league is going the opposite way now. Now, back in the day, in the 80s and the 90s, you always got your big power center, and that's what you build your team around. But it's not like that anymore. The league is much smaller. That's how come Golden State is whipping everybody's behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Golden State got a bunch of multi-players. You could get a Draymond Green who could play the four, who could play the five, who could play the three.
Well, you know what? You got all these D-leaguers. You got all these D-leaguers the past couple of years. All these D-leaguers the past couple of years, right? And think about all that cap money they didn't use. All the D-leaguers got raises. They got bonuses. So these guys will probably never get bonuses like that again. You know what I'm saying? Because I think the Colangelo's, they're going to clean house. But they can't take credit for it. In other words, like back in 08 when the Phillies won the World Series, right, they should have gave a ring to Ed Wade. So if, let's say, 2-3 years down the line from now, let's say we win the World Championship, then they should get a ring to Sam Hinkie. But they're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, that's how they should. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, the ideal thing is they should get 1-4. If they get, 1-4 or 2-4, either way I'm happy. So, number four has to be Chris Dunn, no matter what, because that's your point guard. That's your point guard. If they get Dunn and Ingram, I'm static. I'm happy. I might go out getting season tickets. I'm just saying, I'm happy either way. But other than that, I'm about to go get something to eat, and I'm gonna before, and I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to take a picture of it, and then I'm going to say my grace. I know how much you like that.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. Yeah, take your picture first, then say your grace. You know what I'm saying? That's what black people do nowadays. They want to take a picture of the food first.
Me and my girl was bagging up when we saw your video, and I said, yeah, you raise a point. And I said, a lot of people, I see people doing it in front of me, too. And I was just like, huh? And they take a picture, and I'm like, I hope a bug pops out of it as soon as you take that picture, too. That's what I'm looking at like that. But, no, it's all good. Hey, yo, I'm still working on your surprise, man. I've been busy lately, but I'm still going to get it to you. Hard to find something your size, brother, but I'm still hard to find something your size. So you're a hard person to shop for.
I appreciate the thought.
No problem. Hey, tell Joey I said what's up, and I hope he gets well in his recovery. You know, it's my sixth brother right there, all right?
All right, bro.
All right, Trudy, you have a wonderful day yourself.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
And I hopefully you run into Jim Carrey, okay?
Yeah. Or somebody
that's it. Yeah.
I'm
going
to
start
taking all white tables.
All right. Y'all have a good day, all right?
You too.
All right, bro. Bye. All right, we're going to take this commercial block. So we'll be back in 5 hours after this commercial block is over.
Stupid.
And then we'll finish Big Daddy's Hard Talk Radio.
Attention sports fans, collectors, hobbyists, and autograph seekers. Are you looking for the best in sports cards and collectibles? The only name you need to know is Carl's. That's right, Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA not only has the best collection of sports memorabilia, cards, game, used merchandise, and autograph signings of top professional athletes, he also does custom framing too. Go to carlscards.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Carl's Cards. That's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Remember, Carl's, the only and best name in sports cards and collectibles. For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin on the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Trash City Beads. The Great Bead Store with the weird name. Selling beads and findings for over 25 years. Visit us online at TrashCity.com. Like us on Facebook at Trash City Beads. Unique beads, charms, crystals, and findings from all over the world at wholesale prices. No store, no showroom. We are online only. Visit us at TrashCity.com. Trash City Beads is your online source for the best beads on the planet. Remember the name, Trash City Beads.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Wilkinson from TV Nation and Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment. Sadly, each year, approximately 3.6 million children become victims of child abuse. My latest ebook, Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect, explores the long-lasting effects abuse can have on victims. Explore life after the abuse ends and how we cope with the tragedies of the past. Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect is available on Kindle for only 99 cents. And don't forget to check out my website, actingnotreacting.com, a common sense approach to teens in crisis. Let's work together and make this world a better place. And remember, stay driven.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromHolmes.
Attention sports fans, collectors, hobby.
/LettersfromHolmes. By Jove, I think he's got it. With the spot of tea. Cheerio and all that, what?
Anyway, hey, somebody has to pay bills. What you talking about?
Welcome back, Big Daddy's Hard Talk. And we have our first guest already ready. He called in. This brother here is the president of the Sixers 24/7 group. He does a lot as far as the Sixers, and I could appreciate him because he's a diehard Sixers fan just like me. And like I said earlier, if you saw the Sixers commercial that they played before every game a million times, he's the guy that's in every commercial with the Sixers tattoo, the Sixers paraphernalia around him. He had stuff from the Sixers dating back to the 70s. So,
oh, wow.
A true, true, true Sixers fan. I want to bring on my buddy Joey D. Joey D, welcome to Big Daddy's Hard Talk. How you doing, buddy?
Good evening, Big Daddy. What's happening, good brother? My 1776 commercial brother. How we doing today, my man?
Man, I'm cool. I can't complain. It's a pleasure to have you on, and I'm glad
appreciate
you took the call. And I just wanted you to talk about the Sixers 24/7 group. I want you to talk about some of the stuff that you collected over the years, and we'll get into some Sam Hinkie conversation and the future of the Sixers.
Well, first of all, it's an honor to be on your show, man. Thank you very much. I got the pleasure of meeting you this year. We've become friends, and just happy to be, you know, have you in my life now. So one Sixers fan to another, man. Much respect to you to always be in there and, you know, repping the Sixers and just being there, through, you know, through thick and thin no matter what, which is the only way I know as a fan myself. So salute to you on that. As far as
thank
my
you,
Sixers 24/7 group, you know, I came onto the internet and, you know, I had seen that, you know, there were many sports groups and, you know, being a Sixers fan and only a Sixers fan because I don't have any other favorite teams in the sport. I had seen, you know, numerous groups, but I had a vision and I had something in my head that I wanted to create that was just, that, you know, it was more than a group, you know, more than a Facebook group, more than, you know, a place that people went and just conversated and, you know, most of the time probably just all, you know, cursed at each other. I wanted to build a family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, through the years, you know, I've, you know, worked very hard and diligently to make sure that I have the right type of people in my group. And at this point, we're 11,300 deep, you know, represented in over 165 of the 192 countries in the world. And we're definitely a family. I mean, you know, we do a lot of things together. And it's just it's really a great thing. I actually want to shout out all my Sixers 24/7 members right now because, you know, without them, you know, I'd be sitting there talking Sixers to myself, which I do part of the day anyway. So,
hey, Joe.
But,
hey, Joe. Joey.
hold on a second. I almost forgot something.
Okay.
I want to introduce you to my co-host, Faye Elise.
Okay.
I'm sorry I should have introduced her the same time I came on. Hey, what's up, Faye?
What's up? How you doing, Joey?
How you doing? Good evening. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
I was so excited
about talking
to you. I'm going
to talk
about
your secrets. It's okay.
she used to actually work
back
for
to the Sixers.
Sixers
so, yeah, so the Sixers 24/7. You know, we've jumped off, as you can see. You know, there's been lots of, we're very well known now. I mean, the shirts are all over the stadium. They're all over the, you know, the city. It actually was great. One of the four of the guys actually met up in the United Kingdom the other day. It was great. You know, they know who they are. Shout out to Sam, Jay, Mike, and Danny Tweed, all you guys. You know who you are. I love you guys. But you know, we've become something really, really big, and it's just I just love the fact that you know, even through the last 3 years, which have been three, you know, lowest points in franchise history. No, we've never had three seasons in a row of under 20 wins, and nonetheless, you know, we're still growing, and that just shows that there are Sixers fans out there that are passionate, you know, that love their team, that want to talk their team, that eat, sleep, drink Sixers all day, all night, and I just love it, man. And you know, we have 11,300, and you know, we're 10-70 right now, and you know, and when I started this, I had a vision, and you know, as big as we've become, I'm not going to stop there. I'm a guy who always wants, you know, the biggest and the best of everything. So this is just the beginning. Sixers 24/7 is just getting started. So stay tuned. Like I always said with the process, big things coming. Same thing with Sixers 24/7.
Cool.
Now, as far as the process is concerned, you did want to talk about Hinky, right? And yes, oh my God, yo, Big Daddy, man. This is, you know, actually, I would like to hear your point. Why don't you just give me a brief outline of how you're feeling about it, and I'll follow up on mine because I'm curious to see how you feel.
Well, I just got to say, and I don't know if you read the article I did for ESPN this past Friday, but I think everybody got mad at Hinky at once, and they wanted to say, let's get him out of here, let's pull him out.
Right.
But was it time for him to leave? Maybe it was, because now maybe you need a more experienced person to shape and mold the organization now.
Uh-huh.
If it wasn't for Sam Hinkie, you wouldn't have Jaleel Okafor, you wouldn't have Norris Noel, you wouldn't have Joel Embiid, you wouldn't have Serge coming over at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So he put decent pieces in place, and I can respect that. It's just that now maybe you need a more experienced person to bring some free agents in here, because I heard from the grapevine that a lot of the free agents didn't want to come in here.
I tell you what, that grapevine is producing a lot of grapes for you, Lee. I'll tell you what, because I've been hearing a lot of things, too, within the organization. And, you know, I could sit here and talk about this for an hour, but to break it down to my personal opinion and basis element, I mean, honestly, it's a sloppy situation the way everything is transpired, number one. When they hired Hinkie, you know, first of all, I had confidence in the owners when they bought the team. Rest in peace, Ed Snyder, even though he was, you know, he treated the Sixers like a redheaded stepchild. You know, that's nice, you know, we lose somebody. But, you know, the Flyers were his baby. But I was happy when the owners bought it. And they came in and they said, you know, hey, Ron Thorne and Doug Collins are basketball people. We're not going to step on toes. That's how we run things. You know what I mean? We're not going to think we know basketball. They let Thorne and Collins have year one, find them trades, screwed everything up, and bang, they got them out the door. So now you hire Sam Hinkie. Now Hinkie comes in and he shows you his plan, and you sign on for it. Now you knew when you signed on for it that this was going to take 3 to 5 years. So, you know, along comes the process, and this is the year that, you know, is the big summer. I mean, this is what we were setting up for. This is what all them losses piled up, you know, we accumulated them for, and, you know, we went through these hard times to put ourselves in this position, which is a very good position, I might add. Nonetheless, yes, the grapevine has been spewing out a lot of things that, you know, he wasn't great with agents. Free agents don't want to come here. And you're absolutely right. Now, will we ever really know that? See, I don't ever go by anything because I don't believe everything that's written on the internet. People, you know, unless I hear it from somebody's mouth most of the time, you never really know what's going on unless you're in that room. But I do believe that, you know, they don't feel confident enough and they want somebody more experienced and with a better chance to go into free agency than Sam did. Because, you know, you're looking at a guy like Colangelo and, you know, he's got great connections in the league. He's got, you know, he runs Team USA. And they're putting their money on the table that you could just really get a feel that they're going to really try to go out and get some big names. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you're Hinkie, now think about it. If you're Hinkie, how do you feel? I mean, they bring in Colangelo. Basically, you were told, hey, you know, it's your show. You know what I'm saying? And you bring in Colangelo. How do you feel? You know, people are calling him quitter. But how would you feel? He basically got demoted.
Here's my thing with that. Joey, here's my thing with that, though. And here's also what Britton Brown should be worried about.
Uh-huh.
Once they brought Colangelo in, and once they brought D'Antoni in, you knew then that these were your replacements.
Yeah, kind
and
of.
Your
job, absolutely.
Your days is numbered. So,
well,
yeah,
that's
as
the thing. But
God, in,
when
you
new people
in,
are put in places, when
door.
New people are put in places, usually they bring a lot of their people from wherever they've been before, whoever they work with. So, yeah. If I was Brett Brown, I wouldn't feel totally comfortable right now. And he was at the tailgate yesterday, and I didn't bring it up to him, but he had some, you know, his facial reactions and his you know, he gave some looks and some, you know, eye rolls, and, you know, he was bringing some things. You know, you could tell that it's a shaky situation over there. But I don't know. I just, let me tell you something. I'm not a big fan of the Colangelos. Now I'm a guy that's going to support the Sixers no matter what. That's all I know. I'm optimistic. I'm positive. That's the only way I know. Until it fails, then I say, all right, it was wrong, and that's it. It is what it is. But I will support them. Do I have complete and utter faith in them right now? No. And I'll tell you why. Because, listen, while they're well-respected, and yes, there was. I remember when they put the team back in the desert. It was such a weird thing. Like, it was like, oh, Phoenix has a team now. Wow. It was like it was monumental back in the late 60s. I had my aunt moved out there, and it was a big thing. And they run a very clean, safe organization. They don't take any junk from players. They bring in the right guys. You know what I'm saying? They're well run. They're a clean organization. But big but here, you have a team that right taking over that needs to get, you know, built and put over the hump. These guys between him and Brian, right, have 60 years of NBA experience, right? They have two appearances and zero titles. So, with all due respect, are we going to settle to be a team that's going to, you know, be good and maybe almost get there? Or do we really want to try to put a championship in? And I thought that had the better chance to do that because he was a risk taker. He was an innovator. People didn't like his methods, but you know what, though? In the NBA, unfortunately, sometimes, as crappy as it is, if you're in a position that we were in back in 2012, sometimes you have to blow it up to the dirt and start over. And unfortunately, you know, people call it tanking. I don't think the Sixers didn't tank. They got rid of the slop that was a mediocre decade. You know what I'm saying? With no chance of getting better.
And I said that. I said that to that reporter too. It's funny you said that. I mean, that's what I said to that reporter. Like, how many more years are we going to go into the playoffs as the 8th seed, as the 7th seed, get bumped out in the first, maybe the second round? Because that one year, we got past Chicago because Derrick Rose
got hurt. Yeah, because they were hurt. Rose was out. You know what's right? We're out in round one again, unfortunately. I respect that team's heart and hustle, but with all due respect, looking at it as a non-homer, we lose that series if Rose is healthy. They were a 61-win team, I think, and he was the MVP, I believe. And you know what? Unfortunately, we would have been out in round one. Now, think about it. People don't want to understand. They say, oh, well, you know what? Maybe we could have built off that team. No, we couldn't have. Why couldn't we have? Because check this out. We had no stars, right? We had no stars. No legit superstar, okay? With that being said, we had contracts. We had no way to get a star in. Why? Because we had contracts that were so overblown. Who was going to trade for Samuel Dalembert's $50 million contract in 2005? The NBA trades have to be within 110% of each other's salary. So Samuel Dalembert was overpaid.
Exactly.
You're not going to get somebody for him. Then you had guys like we had average players. Now you can't bring any in because any stars in because we had no money. We were capped out. So there's another problem. Another problem was the draft. We weren't going to get any high draft picks because we were the middle of the pack team, which gives you 15, 16, 17, 18 picks every year. So all our three avenues to get a star were shot down. You had one switch. It's like we went up there with two strikes every time. Because of the simple fact, you had to find that one perfect deal to try to hit a home run with, and we tried to do it with Weber. What happened? We swung and we missed because it was a failed trade because, you know, it failed. We tried to do it again with Biden. Swing and a miss. Failed trade. We got one shot at it in every other 3 to 4 years. That's how much of a mess we were in. So he had to blow it up. Start over, start from the beginning. I mean, think about it. I mean, listen, nobody wants to be 10-70. But is 35 and 47, 40 and 42, 41 and 41 in one playoff, is that any better? You're stuck. You want to win the championship. You know what I mean? And to be honest with you, I hate losing. I play my grandmother in checkers. I want to kick her butt. I don't care. I want to win in anything. So to me right now, if we get a chance on trying to do something better, like by losing a few years to try to get that star – you know what, if nothing else was working, why not give it a shot? Because, as you know, the NBA is the only – you need a star to win. If you don't have one, you're not winning, period. And we don't have one. So he gave us like 4 years of high draft picks. Hopefully we can produce a star. No one's going to be complaining about Hinky. Let me tell you something. If this year we get the 1-4 pick and we grab 2 studs, Embiid turns out to be what he is. Saric comes over. Noel keeps improving. Okafor is what – you know what I'm saying? Nobody's going to complain. And we spend money and grab a free agent because we have the potential to turn this around really, really quick.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Joey, I want to thank you for coming on. I agree
with pretty much
everything you said. Listen, everybody that's listening, Sixers 24/7, get in that group. You're a true Sixers fan, get in that group. I'm a member, and I'm a proud member, and I always look. I don't comment too much because I keep some of my stuff, and I'm not going to war with everybody. But I do watch everything that goes on.
Sometimes it is war, you know that.
Yeah, and I let you guys fight them battles because I read some of that stuff like, whoa, I'm not getting that.
And it goes on 24/7, 365. Come join the family, everybody. Listen, brother, I want to thank you for having me on. It was an honor to be on your show. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Nothing but love and respect you, and hopefully we'll catch up and talk soon, all right?
Yes. Let me know when the barbecue is because I'm going to be there.
You got it, brother. See you soon, man. Go Sixers.
All right, man. Go Sixers. Yeah, buddy. He can talk, Ken. You still there?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, just check to make sure you're still there. Yeah, he can talk, Ken.
I'm listening to y'all talk about the Sixers. You know, that's you.
Well, you used to work for the Sixers.
Yeah, I know. I sure did. I'm still a Lakers fan, though. Kobe's game is on Wednesday, so I'll be watching that.
Kobe's last game is on Wednesday. Who cares?
I care, and the whole world cares. Only you, the hater, that don't care.
Kobe Bryant's last this. Kobe Bryant's last that. Kobe Bryant took his last dump at the Forum. Kobe Bryant ate his last corn dog. Who gives a rat behind?
Oh, mad. How about that?
Shoot. Screw Kobe Bryant. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to Kobe Bryant. As soon as he retires Wednesday, his wife's going to be putting them divorce papers in my church.
She ain't shut up.
Watch. Watch.
She ain't going nowhere. She good.
All right, she ain't going nowhere. She did her time. She did her time. Anyway, I got some bad news. Christian Crosby will not be calling in today. He's very busy. So he won't be able to call in, so I'll reschedule with him. So we're going to get right into the relationship part of our show. And here's my question. Should you date somebody that you work with?
No.
And
there's
an old
not.
Saying, and I'm going
no.
to I'm going to use the old saying, should you shit when you eat? Use my first
no.
when I said it.
No, absolutely not. No. I'm
absolutely
like a
firm
speed
girl.
No.
And why do you say that? Elaborate.
90% of the time, that does not work out. It is rare. It is so rare if your relationship works out. And 90% of the time, it does not. So guess what? 90% of that relationship is going to end up with everybody else knowing about your business, and it's going to be bad blood, and why be uncomfortable at work?
I hear you. And I agree with you. I agree with you because, you know what, to be honest with you, I was at Merck for close to 20 years when I was there, and I never had that opportunity. It never presented itself to me. It was like I never dated anybody there because quickly after I got the job there, I got married to my first wife. But then even after we split up and I was single, I still never dated anybody at the job. It just never really happened. I'm not saying that, you know, I didn't find anybody at the job attractive. It's just it never really worked out. And, you know, then I remarried, and opportunity wasn't there. Now, personally, I think, like, I can't say, I don't want to write it off altogether, because when you meet somebody, because I know a lot of people that met people in a job, married these people, and still with these people. And it worked out for them. Now, if you ask
that's
me,
like the rare 10%. Great. That's
yeah,
rare,
it's rare, but it does happen. It does happen. And I couldn't see me and Tracy working in the same place. We would kill one another. Because the first time she saw me with a female coworker, she's going to want to snap out and get all jealous. Say what?
And probably vice versa. If you seen Tracy talking to one of y'all coworkers, you gonna feel some type of way.
Yeah, I don't know, because I'm not that type person. You know what I'm saying? My thing is, she could be friends with anybody, just keep your hands off. That's what gets me, and that's what bugs me, because I could be at these Sixers games, right? And I know people are just being nice. So they'll come up, they'll shake my hand, but then they'll put their lips on her. And I know they're only saying hi or whatever, but you ain't got to kiss my wife. Same thing in your church. You ain't got to, if I'm not kissing your lady, you shouldn't be kissing my lady. Keep your lips off my lady. I don't like that shit. I truly don't. Like, why are you kissing my lady? Like y'all cool like that?
Because she the popular one.
Shoot. You say what?
She the popular one.
Anyway, and you and I are cool, but do I walk away to my seat and put my lips on you? No. Exactly.
You go hug and say
exactly. Honey. Yeah, I'm gonna walk up and kiss honey. Like, hey, honey.
There you go.
Ain't gonna touch you in my jaw. So. Yeah, that's how I feel about the whole dating at work thing. Here's another question I got for you. Now, let's go way back to when you first met Honey, okay?
Okay.
And he wanted to take you to church on your first date. Do you think that's a good idea? Like, your first date being going to church with the person that you're,
like,
you know, dating.
Like an actual church service or like something
yeah,
going on?
Yeah, actual church
else?
Service. Sunday morning, y'all met up and went to church together.
I would think it was a little weird, but, you know, I would do it. I would think it was very random. Like, of all things that we could do for our first date, you want to take me to church, but we better be going out to eat afterwards. That's how I feel.
All right, we got a caller, and you already know who this is.
Who is it?
My main man, Slim Whiskey.
No, Lord have mercy.
What's going
Don't
on? What's going on?
Co-work. Do not date the coworkers.
Oh, yeah, I stopped that.
And I already posed the question, so now I want your opinion. Should you date the coworkers?
No, not at all. You know, I keep breaking my rule, but after a while.
Date coworkers. That's the question you need to ask him.
Like, listen, it don't work out after a while because, like, things might be going good, but if you have somebody that doesn't know how to keep things discreet, it can make things in the workplace ugly. No, because what happens is they don't take into consideration that, all right, it's still a business that you're working for, and you still have to conduct yourself to a certain level. They want to bring the personal stuff to the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's been, you know, it's been situations like I dated a girl. It's like, oh, I didn't know you was here. I didn't see your car outside. Like, for one, all right, why would it matter if I was here or not? Why are you looking for my car? Like, I didn't know where to begin with that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if y'all have an argument or something, you know, y'all have a disagreement or something the night before, early in the day, now they're walking around the workplace all mad towards you.
Mm-hmm. Makes me
I agree with you, but like I also said, I was telling Faye, I know people who actually started dating, you know, on the job, and mm-hmm. they ended up getting married and, you know, still married.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it happens. It's, you know, on the rare occasions, it does work out and it happens, but 9 times out of 10, mm-mm. And then don't let it be a job situation, you know, where the gender demographic is uneven.
Elaborate.
Because the past couple jobs I've been, like, you know, I worked in the social work field or, you know, mental health field. And
uh-huh.
the ratio of women to men in that field is 10 to 2. So,
10 to 2.
So for every 2 guys, it's 10 females. And you got to keep in mind, within this field, it's long hours, a lot of times away from any family. So these girls is like, all right, I don't have time for a relationship because I'm caught up at work. I only got time for my kids or that. So if I am going to see a guy that I talk to, 9 times out of 10 is going to be a guy that I work with in the field because I see him every day.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, what happens is, you know, you start dating your coworkers, but then that doesn't work out, and then you talk
mm-hmm.
to somebody else in the office. He's like, oh, so you're just going to run through the office talking to all of us, huh? I'm like, no, nah, like, you know, we dated, we had our time, it's over.
Yeah, and it's harder for women to let go. Not all of them, but some of them, it's harder for them to let go. So that's why I said you don't want to deal with that drama and all that while you at work.
Exactly.
Hey, Flip, let me ask you another question.
Mm-hmm.
Trudy, I want you to comment on this. So, this just popped in my head when you were talking about that. This is a question I was going to ask a while ago, and I forgot. What if you're uh-huh. out one, you know, you meet a chick, you know, y'all meet at the, let's say, supermarket or whatever. Y'all exchange
yeah.
numbers. Y'all go out on a couple of dates. You find out that she's a stripper. Exotic dancer. Whichever
okay.
way you want to put it. Do you continue to date her, or do you give her the boot? Ron, you go first. Drew, you answer next.
It depends what you're looking for. Are you dating her with the intentions of building something on it, or is it just, you know, a physical thing?
No, it's not just a screw. You totally like this girl.
Wow. Well, you know what? With that,
and she said, "It's something I gotta tell you. I don't know how to tell you. I shake my ass for cash." Like, do you continue to date her, or you let her go?
I let her go.
So wait,
you
she didn't tell you that she was a
yeah.
stripper?
No, she didn't tell you from the door. Y'all met in the supermarket. Y'all exchanged numbers. Y'all went on a couple of dates. You took her to Red Monkey. You know what I'm saying? You took her to the movies. You know, y'all hung out. Y'all Netflix, chilled, whatever you do. And then one day
mm-hmm.
she comes up to me. Oh, my God, I'm going to I shook my ass with cash.
See, and the thing that would get me, too, is I'm like, all right, at least she came out and told me. I'm like, you know, it ain't like I was out with the boys and we went to the place. I'm like, ain't that such and such?
But that's the thing.
Never mind.
Now, mm-hmm. now you
Now, you like her and everything, but let's say one night you don't tell the boys, but, you know, you happen to go to a gentleman's club, and there she is, butt naked on the pole.
That reminds me of that Most Def video.
Yeah. And now, true to you, answer.
I think she should have been up front with you at the beginning. That would make the situation awkward. It definitely, I think it would make it awkward. But as far as, like, if you really like, if you really like her, then in a way, deal with it. If you really like her.
All right. Now, I'm going to give you Big Daddy's version on it.
Okay.
You dump her ass.
Lord, yeah.
You dump her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you can't, because once she said one, what Trudy said, and I agree with, you wasn't honest with me from the door. If you would have told me in the supermarket that I shake my ass for cash, that means you gave me the option to either continue to date you or to leave you alone right then and delete your number.
Mm-hmm.
But you dated me. You allowed for me. You hid something from me. So you allowed for my feelings to get involved. And then you want to tell me all of a sudden that you shake your ass for cash and that's how you make your money, you got to go. So just like you just said, so when we was out somewhere and shoot, we go to Onyx or something, and with my homies, and there you is on the phone. One, I'm going to snap because I got feelings for you up there half naked. Two, I'm really going to be cash when we get alone because you lied to me and you didn't tell me what you did. It ain't like you're a trash collector and you didn't tell me. It ain't like that you wipe asses at a kind of lesson hall and you didn't tell me. You up on the pole, fuck ass neck.
Somebody, that's my girl. Yeah, look, she was mine too for $20.
Yo, dang.
Because you think about that movie Players Club, that movie would have been totally different. The dude met Diamond in the club and continued to date her and didn't go to complain. We will stop working at that dumbass club. My homies can pay him $10 because he can be naked anytime they want. Well, nigga, you started dating her and you knew she was a hoe.
Yeah.
And I said, no.
It does not make her a hoe.
So what?
Just because she is a stripper does not make her a hoe. Because she is shaking her ass does not make her a hoe. If she is doing things outside of shaking her ass, that's what makes her a hoe. Just because she is showing off her body, shaking her ass, not building her face, does not mean that makes her a hoe.
Well, that's questionable. Because that's kind of like borderline prostitution.
Listen.
It's not, but there's strip clubs everywhere, and if it was prostitution, strip clubs would be illegal.
But see, here's the thing.
You can't tell me any strip club you go into, if you don't give the chick enough money, you won't get a hand job or a blow job or fuck.
It depends on the
woman. I said the F word.
Depends on the woman. Some women actually go there to work, not to do things on the side extra. Yeah, I'm not saying a lot of strippers got bad reputations. But it doesn't mean all strippers go to work specifically to go and give hand jobs and you know, show you what that mouth do.
The majority. And your average stripper not going to turn down no $50 bill.
But you can't judge all of them.
Say what?
You can't judge all strippers because there's a few bad seeds out there.
Now, I'm not saying that a woman can't show off her body. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if you and them nasty ass clubs, eventually, you're going to have a penis in your mouth.
You know, and here's my other question, too. I'm like, what's her goals? Like, how long are you doing this? Because a lot of times, these girls, they do it to pay their way through school. some be like, all right, I'm doing it just to pay my rent. But after a while, but if you like over 30 and that's just like your main income, I'm like, what are you trying to do with yourself?
Yeah, I mean, if you,
I know what
if you're, you
know, I know what
if you're
right
over
now.
About 26, 27 and you still in the strip club, then you need to reevaluate your life. But
yeah, exactly.
Some
I know
people,
a chick right now that's 46, 47 mm-hmm. years old that's still working in these damn clubs.
Mm.
If you're that old, you need to reevaluate your life. What are you doing? That the fact that you're still 20 years in and still giving hand jobs.
What's she, stripping AARP cards?
Well, y'all got some special strip clubs down in Philly, so ain't no telling.
She's only stripping with a senior discount.
Shoot. I knew a stripper that was 55 years old and was still working back in the day. Working with a granddaughter.
Lord.
You know what? Wow.
I'm just saying. So it does have, but I agree. I agree with you saying, Faye. All I'm saying is eventually it's going to go down.
Yeah.
Well, all I'm saying is, because I have a couple of stripper friends, and yes, I know about two out of three that, yeah, they hoes, I'll put it that way. I love them dearly, but yes, they're hoes. But one, you know, she had a child young. All she wants to do is take care of her child, but she also is going to nursing school.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's what I'm saying.
She is trying to better herself. So when she's done with her shift, she's out. She ain't about that nonsense. In a way, she's kind of like me. She's very, like, she does what she does. But when her shift is over with and you try to come at her, like, when you see her walking through the club, she will snatch her hand, like, I got your money. I don't care. Don't touch me anymore. Goodbye. Like, she turns into one of them.
Okay.
She got aspirations.
All right,
yeah.
And I agree with that. Excuse me. She's doing that for now. But let that rent about to come up short. Let that car got to get fixed.
Okay,
let the secure come up in there. And see if she'll get a hand job.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, just because she has that type of job doesn't mean she's going to do that. I mean, sometimes shit happens. Shit happens. It happens here. If her rent is going to be late, guess what? Her rent going to be late because she ain't about to do all that. She already
okay.
out
she
on
say that now.
So. All right. I know that's your buddy. I'm just saying. Everyone I done ran across come off like that first. I don't normally do that stuff. I don't normally do that stuff. Then you dance with them for a couple of times. Next thing you know, they taking your penis out your pants.
Yeah.
I don't normally do this. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Whatever.
You done did this before.
Look, you see, you seen the Players Club. Uncle Luke came in.
I saw Players Club.
What happened when Uncle Luke came in?
Even Diamond got turned out. At the time, Diamond said, okay, I don't want to do this no more. But her ass got turned out. Say, you better just hope your rent don't come up late. What'd you say?
Y'all couldn't pay me enough.
All right, Slim, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to holler at you later. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Bro, I'll talk to y'all later.
All right.
All right.
All right. We're going to wrap up this edition of Big Daddy's Hard Talk. I want to thank Joey D for calling in. I want to thank my man George, my weekly caller, calling in. That's my man right there. He calls in every week. I appreciate him. Next week, I possibly want to have a surprise calling in. I hope it all works out. I'm going to have, I don't want to ruin too much of it, but it's this guy I might have calling in. He's got a very interesting story, and he's a celebrity impersonator. And I'm going to leave it there for right now. I don't want to leak too much, but I want to leave it there where he's a really good guy.
possibly calling in if I can get him in, and he's got an interesting story for next week. Faye, what's going on? Anything you want to tell the people before I let you go?
I know this week, upcoming weekend, there's the Ring of Honor tryout, so if anybody's listening and they're going, you know, good luck. Like, give them your A game. Don't be scared. Don't be nervous. Do what you got to do. I'll be there. I'll be late, but, you know, I'll be there to support everybody. And other than that.
Afterwards, you come past my house, say hi. You be in Pennsylvania.
All right. Yeah, I got to drop off some cupcakes anyway, not to eat.
Me and Tracy, we all go out and grab something.
And I'll owe her some cupcakes. Actually, I'm going to make them probably Friday.
She said, okay. Anyway, just like Faith said, anybody that's listening, Ring of Honor tryout this Saturday. If you're young and you're hungry and you're really trying to make it to the next level in the wrestling business, your ass need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that. You need to be there. Even if you don't, like, get picked up or whatever, it's an experience that you'll need. It's an experience. Because I had to do that for TNA, and I appreciate it. Did TNA pick me up? No. But I always have that experience of saying that Terry Taylor critiqued my match and told me about it. And I appreciate that. So get your asses out there to the Ring of Honor tryout and see where you stand at now. Because it possibly is something that you can improve on that they'll tell you about. Or maybe it's something that you're doing well that they can use. Don't let opportunity go past. And on that note, there's three different types of people in the world: those who don't know what happened, those who wonder what happened, and people like Big Daddy and Faye Elise that make things happen. God bless you all. See you next Monday.
Bye-bye.